Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 39. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear your word. Lord, to understand what does it mean and how does it change our lives. Lord, I believe that your word is real. Your word is alive. Your word isn't just something written hundreds, thousands of years ago. It is something that is relevant today. Lord, you are the God who never changes, and so your word is alive. The Bible applies to our lives today just like it did the lives of those who were alive when it was written. Lord, you have something to say to us. So God, speak to our hearts today. Help us listen and help us follow and obey you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 39. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of a cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead then, and complete what your ancestors started. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly, I tell you, all this will come on this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Okay, in today's reading, we once again look at Jesus and his condemning or saying how wrong the Pharisees are. He is once again speaking out against them, saying that they are hypocrites again and again. And here he goes into detail in some ways about what he is saying about them. One of them, at the very beginning, he talks about how they give part of their spices, but they neglect other things. That basically, they are told to tithe, to give a tenth of everything they have. And so, oh, they are great at being very, very specific, even down to tithing spices. I mean, not even money, but this, the possessions that they have, the spices, the food, tithing that. But he says, you have neglected the important things. You're good at tithing, at giving, but you are neglecting justice. You're neglecting mercy. You're neglecting faithfulness. Neglecting, you're not doing it. You are not obeying in the big things. You're great at doing little small things that are easy. But the big things, you're not doing them. He says, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And so, it's like they have a cup of tea, and there's a little small fly in there, and a huge camel. And they're like, oh look, little small fly, I will take that out of my tea. Alright, they have gotten out that little fly, gulp, and then they swallow the camel. That they are looking at the small little things, but missing the big, important things. Next, he compares them twice to something that on the outside is clean, but on the inside is disgusting. The outside of the cup and a dish is clean, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. So imagine taking a teacup, and inside it is disgusting. It is full of dirt and garbage and spoiled food that has been maybe dumped out, but still the markings and things from it are still there. Disgusting things that you would not want to eat. But, oh, they clean the outside so that it looks very nice and pretty. Would you still want to drink tea from that cup? No! You want to clean the inside where your tea is going to be. It is like that with us. Many times we focus on the outside of our lives. We think about what other people see, and we forget that God sees our heart. God sees the thoughts that we think. God sees the reason that we are doing things, whether we're doing them for selfish reasons, trying to make other people like us, or are we doing them for Him? God sees our thoughts. When nobody else is around, God sees us. What are we doing? What are we thinking? And so it is our heart that Jesus is concerned about, not just the outside. And he says, when we clean our heart, the outside will also be clean. But if we only worry about what other people see, we are missing the big picture. He next compares them to tombs. Think about a tomb. Inside, there's a dead person. Ugh! But outside, they make it look all beautiful and pretty. And he says that they are like that. On the outside, they appear to be righteous, but inside, they are full of wickedness. and they are far from God. Next, he talks about how they say, "Oh, we would have accepted the prophets." You see, before Jesus, God sent many, many prophets to Israel. There were times when the people of Israel were very far from God. They worshipped other gods, idols, statues that men had made, and they turned from God. And so God sent prophets to tell them to come back. A prophet is one who is a messenger of God. Sometimes they do tell what is going to come in the future, that God has given them a vision of what will happen in the future. But primarily, their main purpose is to speak the message in the Word of God. And so God sent prophets to Israel, saying, "Turn back. Stop worshiping these things that are not God, and worship me, and me alone. If you will turn to me, I will bless you. If you will not turn, I will destroy you. I will send other nations to take over your kingdom and your land, and they will make you slaves." And that's what happened. The people would not listen to God's messengers. They killed them. And here the Pharisees and teachers of the law are saying, "Oh, if we had been alive when the prophets came, we would have listened to them." But Jesus sees the truth. He knows that at this time, they are already trying to figure out how to kill him. And when this takes place, this is within the week before he dies. So he knows that they are plotting and planning to have him arrested and killed. They aren't any different from their ancestors who killed the prophets that God had sent. The only difference is they're not sending God's messengers, or they're not killing God's messengers. They are killing God himself, who came to live in the flesh. That's who Jesus is. And so Jesus says, "No, you are not different from them. Stop thinking that you are better than you are. Realize that God sees the truth. God sees your heart." Finally, Jesus mourns for Jerusalem, and he talks about how he longs to gather them. He wants to bring them to him, just like a mother hen brings her small little baby chicks and holds them underneath her wings to keep them safe. Jesus longs to do that for Jerusalem. He wants to bring them to him, but they won't come. In the same way, Jesus longs for you. He wants to bring you close to him, to shower his love on you, to guide you, to save you. I think today there are several things, and once again, the biggest thing that I see here in today's reading is that following God is a matter of the heart. It goes far beyond obeying rules. The Pharisees and the keepers of the law, they were great at following rules. They followed small little rules that many would admit are insignificant. They're not really the important things. But as Jesus pointed out, they missed the important things that God was calling them to do. And their hearts were wicked. They followed all these rules when people were watching, but the inside of them was far from God. What is your heart like? Is it close to God? When no one else is around, what do you do? God is around. God sees and knows. Even when you're in the middle of a crowd, what is in your mind? God knows that too. You see, we might be able to fool all the people around us, but we can never fool God. We cannot lie to God. He knows the truth. He knows what is in our hearts. But he wants to draw us to him. He wants to give us a new heart, a clean heart, a heart like his. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have that heart that is close to you. Help us to have a heart that follows you, that listens and obeys and does what you ask. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.